This week on Two Legs,
it's McCartney Books featuring special guest
Joe Wisby from At Books Beatles.
Stay tuned. Hi, McCartney fans, and welcome to, this is what, episode 98 of Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast. We are a Paul McCartney talk show mainly dealing with the solo careers of the one and only Paul McCartney. I'm one of your two co-hosts, Tom Hunyadi, and you may know me from my other show, Talk More Talk. And I am here with my partner in crime, my buddy, my backwards traveler. He is Andy Nichols. Andy, what is going on, my friend? Good to see you.
Good to see you, Tom. Swamped in MacBooks, getting ready Swamped for a good talk. MacBooks.
Yes, absolutely. Today's episode is about McCartney Books, and it's more books about that the people have written about McCartney. We won't really necessarily get into his children's books or his painting books or you know, Blackbird Singing or anything like this. We're going to just talk about the books that other authors have written about McCartney, and we have a special guest for that, and you may know him from his Instagram page, Books Beatles, and this is Joe Wisby. Joe, what's going on?
Hello, Tom. Hello, Andy. Thank you so much for having me. I'm going good, thank you, in a quite a grey English afternoon, Sunday afternoon over here.
Well, it should be just a regular day then over there, right? Because it's gray a lot.
Too true. Too true, my friend.
There's pockets of sunshine every now and then. Right. It's not all rain clouds, pun intended.
Right. Yeah, but anyways, like I said, we're going to talk about some McCartney books. Joe is an amazing, amazing Beatles and solo Beatles books collector, and we're really looking forward to talking to him today about these McCartney books. But a couple things real quick that I want to remind everybody of. We are now on, that is Two Legs, we are now on Fab Four Radio, so you can check us out there. And I believe we're going to be on the weekends at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're going to be on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays for the time being. And that should be fun. Our last show just showed up this weekend, which, what's the date today? The 30th. So it just started the Friday the 28th. So we are now on Fab Four Radio, so you can check us out there. Andy, what are we else on? We're on Spotify now, right?
We're now on Spotify and Pandora and Amazon Radio.
Excellent. Thank you very much for all your work there. And also coming up in the month of September, which is when this episode is going to take place, we are going to be doing a crossover with the guys at Things We Said Today. That's Ken Michaels, that's Darren DeVivo. As we all know, our buddy Alan Cozen is working on a book called McCartney Legacy with Adrian Sinclair that we're really looking forward to coming out next year. I'm sure, Joe, you're probably, you know, looking forward to that one as well. It looks like it's going to be a Lennonology style type of book, you know, day by day, you know, the news of that time. So I believe the first step, the first issue will take place from 67 with Family Way. When we talked with Alan last, they still were up in the air when it was going to start, whether it
was, but I think that was pretty much the decided, agreed upon time, right? Family Way, 67.
Right. And then go to the end of 73. So that's going to be a nice big book. Long overdue, right.
We know what John Lennon ate for breakfast, you know, on October 2nd, 1971. We don't know what Macca did. So now Macca will have his share.
Exactly. And like you said, long overdue, very well deserved, and really looking forward to it. So. But we're going to be doing this Things We Said Today crossover. We'll be on an episode of theirs, and they'll be on an episode of ours in September. So looking forward to that. As a lot of people have heard in the past, things we said today was one of my inspirations for getting this show started. So it's going to be one of those pinch me, I might be dreaming moments, you know, so I'm really looking forward to that. So stay tuned for that. So Joe, getting back to you, my friend, let's talk about this Instagram page that you started up, Books Beatles. Tell us, you know, the beginnings and why did you do it?
Well, it was the height of lockdown. So kind of April, end of April, start of May. And I realized that I had 400 odd plus nice. Beatles books. I think it's about that. I used to keep a little spreadsheet, but that I gave up after a while. And I noticed that on Instagram, people have, you know, long running accounts of vinyl records, CDs, cassettes, books, anything that people collect, key rings, anything that people collect. So I thought, well, let's put out some of these Beatles books. Let's share my little library with fellow Beatle people, which I started to do. And then people started to follow a lot. Some of the publishers started to get in touch with me about promoting books, etc. And it's great. People will message me and ask me about, you know, do I recommend a particular book? I have a little Saturday classic where each Saturday I post a very famous book in the Beatles canon, and I will discuss that with people, which is great fun. You get some great different opinions about what's a good book, what's a bad book. It started small and it's growing a little bit, which is good, which is cool.
Gotcha. Cool.
Nice way to see people kind of becoming productive during the height of the lockdown and kind of come up with these new creative things. And honestly, Two Legs has been churning along because pumping out so many episodes because of that too, because, you know, we've all been in the same situation. So we're kind of all hitting our niche areas and what we like to push. And, you know, your Beatle book account's great. It's a great page.
Thank you.
I've seen lots of books on there that I have not seen before. Some I have. So, you know, any information that we can gain and learn from it and share is great. So thank you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let's go get in a time machine and talk about, you know, starting to collect Beatles books. I mean, so obviously you're a fan of their music.
Yes.
So and then books just was the next thing.
Well, I always, as a kid, I loved reading. I was a big reader. I'm an only child, so maybe it was to kind of take my mind off of out of boredom. I'm 36, so this was still kind of pre-internet and pre a lot of things, really. So I love books, and then I fell for the Beatles when I was about 8, when I saw Help for the first time. And I started to, and I naturally kind of went into bookshops with this passion for Beatles and for solo, as I would go on to discover. So I just realized that every book that I got from the age of about 10, 11, 12, I loved all of them. I loved that they would take me on a little journey. I would find out something new. I would see a great new set of pictures. You know, the 90s was when a lot of stuff started to be more available. So that was how I felt, really.
Really? Cool. Very cool.
Good story. And I've always found very interesting about the books. The content, like the narrative, is a lot of the same. We know the narrative in the Beatles' tale is the narrative. But what I've found is in reading these books, and I wonder if you agree, is that when you're reading these books, you're actually learning about the author and their journey more so than the story of the... Because the Beatles' story is routine. We all can tell it. And so is Mac, but reading these books, it's interesting to see what you glean from the author and the author's perspective on where they're at as a fan or as a writer.
Yeah, it's fascinating when you look at, you know, there are lots of famous examples that you guys, and I'm sure all your listeners will know, where you've got a book like Shout by Philip Norman, which is completely about one person's view of the story, a view that in this case completely writes out Paul from the story, as we know. So that's a great example of that. And then you see books like Ray Coleman's book on John, which is a very positive book on John. You see a lot of books about John written about 1980, so the John Green book, Dakota Days, which shows John in a negative way. And then, of course, above all of it, you've got the Albert Goldman book on John, which is, you know, is definitely worth a podcast on its own, probably one day. But yeah, they, and then you've got books like all the insiders' books, so Tony Bramwell's book, Tony Barrow's book, you know, Patty's book. You know, there's so many different aspects of this. That's why I love the books, really. There's all these different aspects of this one story that people, that all these different people can get their take on and their view on, and then together you can kind of make up your own. Make up your own mind, I suppose.
You can. I mean, my personal opinion is, and I'm sure, I wonder if what your thoughts on this are. A lot of my favorite books, McCartney, Lennon, Beatles, are all the ones kind of that were published before Lennon was killed, because they are written so differently than after. So most of the ones I have that I'm going to talk about are the McCartney ones are all before that. I mean, there's some been great books, obviously, since then, but anything written before 1980 is special, you know, in my view.
It's a whole different, it's almost like, you know, it's obviously it's a massively different perspective, because, you know, I think Shout is a good example, though, where a lot of Shout was written before John was killed. But then, of course, when he was, and it was published the following year, Philip Norman really made sure that that narrative was changed to push Paul out of the picture quite considerably. But yeah, some of those mid-70s books, you know, The Longest Cocktail Party is another good
Delilo,
which is a fantastic book, which was written originally, obviously, in 1972. That really captures the energy that Apple had, which I think you would never have got had it been published in 1992.
Apple to the Core, another good one.
Right. A fantastic book, book.
So these past decades or whatever that you've been, you know, collecting books, what have been some of the standout ones for you?
Beatles or Paul or both or
both, yeah,
both.
Well, actually, let's just stick with Beatles because we'll get to Paul in a second.
Yeah, cool. Well, the real kind of entry book for me that really blew my mind was Revolution in the Head, Ian McDonald, which was a book that was way so different from a lot of the previous Beatle literature that had come before it. It took me anyway really into the recording studio for some of those descriptions. I love the opinions that he expressed, where he would dismiss songs, even if I didn't agree with it. He would dismiss Across the Universe. He would dismiss a lot. Helter Skelter is not really a fan of Helter Skelter, Ian McDonald. I think, but that was really refreshing, because through the 80s, you had quite a lot of sycophantic books that had come out about John, but also about the Beatles, because John was obviously painted to be this kind of saint after he was killed. But Revolution in the Head, not only is it really interesting in a way that it looks at the Beatles music, but it kind of changed the game a lot for Beatles literature. I'm sure you guys are a fan of that book as well.
Can't say that I've seen it yet.
Nope. Oh, have you not? Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
No. Yeah, but now I've heard you talk about it before, and I'll definitely...
It's a fantastic book. I think it was published in 1994 initially.
Yeah, correct.
And it's a fantastic book. You should pick it up. It's probably the gold standard in terms of academic Beatles texts. One of them, it's up there anyway. And it's been revised, I think, a few times too, I think.
A few times. I think after Anthology, it got revised.
Right, and I think he passed away shortly after that.
He took his own life here, McDonald, I think maybe early 2000s, mid 2000s. Yeah, exactly. So a while after the book was, but he was obviously a very troubled individual, but an amazing book, and his work will go on, obviously.
Right. It will. Tom, if you remember, like kind of like Ted's book, it's very like, it's very, it goes through every song. Each song has about a paragraph dedicated to it. He talks about it. He gives his very candid opinion on it and moves on. He covers the whole gamut, and it's really good.
Cool, yeah. I mean, I like that kind of thing. You know, just give me what you think about it, and I might not agree with you, but at least you got the balls enough to
Revolution in the Head.
Your feelings for a show. How do you feel about this big wave of this last decade? Pretty much since 2010, there's just been massive wave with all these books coming out recently, and it's just like one after another. I mean, there's some highlights for me. You know, I love the Jim Birkenstam book. You know, I love the A's for Apple series. I don't know if you've seen those or not, but those are just like massive, you know, humongous books that are just got so much detail in them. The Elephant and the Walrus, or was it The Walrus and the Elephant? You know, that's a really, really good book as well. So, I mean, just massive amount of books coming out this last decade.
I think what you're seeing,
so many.
I think what you're seeing, which is really cool, is now to write a really good John, Paul or Beatle book, you've got to be specific. You've got to find an area, partly because of the work that Mark Lewison's doing to cover the Beatles story. Right. There's no point in writing a Beatles biography because there's no way that it will compete with what the work that Mark does. Yeah. So what I think you'll get going forward is a bit like the Beatles and Drugs book, which I know, Tom, you spoke about on another podcast, where you find a book, you find a subject, and then you write just about that subject and how it relates to Paul, to John, to obviously the Beatles as a whole. So I think in these last 10 years, you've seen loads of books that will come out like that, which I think is great. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so much area to cover, and we're still learning, you know, mass amounts of information from these four lads. It really is crazy. And the work that Jim put in for the Beatles That Vanished was you know, amazing. And then you also got, the Brian Epstein graphic novel that would end up being, I thought, was pretty good as well.
Spencer Lee's books are also a great to read. Also, have you read a lot of Spencer Lee's stuff, Joe?
Yeah, Drummed Out is a really good book about Pete. Spencer Lee's written a lot of books, isn't he? I've not read all of them, I have to say. Right.
No, I haven't either, because he's very prolific. But I got to meet him a few times in Liverpool. Nice guy.
I would also recommend, I don't know if you guys know, the book by Pete Doggett.
Brilliant. I will recommend that to the day I die.
That's essential reading, I think, for anybody, really. That's on a Lewison level.
It's like jaw-dropping. Some of that stuff is just amazing. You know, was it Capital giving Paul extra...
The McCartney clause.
To bring him back. And we found out later that's pretty much why he didn't attend the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, because of that
very infamous meeting at the Dorchester Hotel in 83.
So
I actually thought so highly of that book. I bought 5 copies of it for my friends and said, who are you friends? You must read this book.
Yeah, good stuff. I mean, I'm looking over to my left here and just looking at so many different things that have just come out over the last, since 2010, really. You know, I had three, when I discovered Things We Said Today in 2012, I had 3 Beatle books, 3. I had Imagine John Lennon from 88, because I just went to go see that movie in the theater, and then just amazing. I had the anthology, you know, because, you know, you got to have that. And then I had the Lewison recording book. And, you know, that was the gist of my Beatles books. And then I find that podcast, and all of a sudden, you know, they start getting all these authors on and, you know, discovering more and more books. So, and then this will just, you know, grew from that. But, you know, how has this adventure been for you? I mean, are you still excited about getting all these books and learning, or what?
Absolutely. If anything, doing the Instagram page and interacting with people, it's grown my love for Beatle literature even more than it was at any point in the past.
Right.
I get a message from someone that will say, have you read this? Sometimes people will send me a photo of a book they've seen in some thrift shop or charity shop in the UK, obviously from all over the world. Right. It's, you know, and they'll say, have you seen this picture of the Hunter Davies book? Have you seen, can you recommend a really good book about the Hamburg days?
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love the fact that people, number one, the fact that people even slightly value my opinion. To it, whether they listen to me, I've no idea. Hey, but they've taken the time to ask. And, you know, all over the world on Instagram, as you guys probably know, there's a little app where it tells you where your followers are centered. A large amount are in the US, a large amount are in the UK, but there's like 5 or 6% are in Argentina.
Wow. Who would have thought?
And what's really cool is that the historiography of the books becomes its own history.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aside from the musical content that we all love, following the history of Beatle books and how it's gone on and what's changed, and that's a whole history in itself.
Right. Yeah.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. So now, from all this love for books, your Instagram page has been pretty successful. now you're starting to start into, you're going to be a competitor of ours. You're going to, you know, take all of our authors away from us now. But no, I'm just kidding. But now you're going to start your own podcast. Let's talk about that.
Yes. So one of the things that have grown out of the page was some of the publishers that got in touch with me about bookstagramming their books, basically promoting and talking about the books and reviewing them. Some of them mentioned about a podcast. I've always been interested in, I love listening to podcasts, obviously, particularly Macca and Beatle podcasts. So I decided to put a few feelers out there with a few authors to see maybe I could just have a very, you know, initially a small show. I get an author on, we chat about a new book, maybe an old book. We talk about where the book came from, what their inspiration was, their Beatle history, and kind of go from there. So yeah, I'm lucky enough to have had a few exclusive interviews with a few cool authors coming up, and that will be launching hopefully kind of mid to late September kind of time.
Awesome. Excellent. Yeah, did you come up with a name yet for the for this podcast?
I think I have to just go with Beatles books still. I think that's what it's that keep it simple, Andy. Yeah.
Right. Keep it authentic to what your original idea was, right?
Exactly that, yeah.
Great. That's awesome. Congratulations on that. We look forward to checking that out. I mean, there's a lot of great stories. You know, I find the authors that we have had on in the past, you know, they got a story to tell. They want to talk about it. So, you know, they're enthused about it. You know, at least the ones that are, you know, are happy about their work, you know. But yeah, it's a great time. I love talking with authors. I love to hear what they have to say and, you know, challenging their opinions every once in a while is a lot of fun, you know.
And it's a journey too. You want to find an author who wrote a book 30 something years ago, and you got to do you got to go dig around the internet and find them. And is he willing? And does he want to do it? Some people are. Some people aren't.
Right. Speaking of finding, I got a book here that hopefully maybe you can help me out finding this person.
Oh, if anybody can, I'm sure Joe can.
Yeah, we'll find out. Cool. Well, excellent. Well, we look forward to that. We'll leave a link on the description area when this show is posted. So stay on the lookout for that. And we'll put on Joe's Instagram page, and we'll just get the word out.
Give it a follow.
Yeah, no, are you going to expand to like Twitter or Facebook page or anything that?
Yeah, I think Twitter definitely and Facebook. I think that will be the main focus will still be Instagram. It's about me showing the books that I've got.
Right.
So, but there will definitely be a presence on Facebook and Instagram. Facebook and Twitter, sorry.
Excellent. Great. Well, we look forward to that. Anyways, let's get to some McCartney books, huh? Andy, when did you start, getting into the book collecting?
Probably elementary school and, you know, middle school. I'd go to my school library and just go, okay, what do you got on the Beatles and McCartney? I'm checking them out.
Right.
You know, and that was like, so Joe, you're 36, I'm 39, so we're close in age. So back then it was very limited what they had, you know. So I remember, like, one of the first books I got it right here. This is Tony Jasper's book, On Wings.
Yeah, got that right here, too. Yeah.
Came out in the 70s, you know. It was published in 77. So brief history of Wings up until about Wings Over America, which is cool. Because when that book was published, Wings was still functioning. That's why you go back into those period. It's like it's just encapsulating a time.
Right.
So, your basic Beatle books, Lennon books, especially, you know, learning all about all that. But that was elementary school, middle school, really. Just grabbing anything I could.
Gotcha. Great. So Joe, let's talk about some McCartney books out there. Let's start with favorites. You know, if you got them right there next to you or whatever, let's just pop up a couple books.
Let's see, and a couple favorites.
And I know you got one particular one that you're pretty vocal about, and I can't wait to talk about that as well.
Okay, well, let's start with that. let's start. Yeah. Let's go there. So here I have a book which everyone listening to this I will hope would own, which is
yes.
Paul McCartney's Many Years From Now.
This is the only authorized McCartney book out there, right?
I think along with George's I'm Me Mine and the anthology.
Well, for McCartney. This is the only
definitely.
Authorized.
Yeah. But it's the only, what I'll say was, apart from those two books, it's the only authorized Beatles books and the Hunter Davies, really. There's so few.
Right.
Now, so this did get some, what we would say in the UK, stick when it came out as it came at a time where people thought Paul was feathering his nest a little bit, trying to wrench back his kind of coolness from the fact that John had been seen
as the one,
as the guy, as the right. as not only as the guy in the Beatles, but the avant-garde guy, the guy that was out exploring London and getting all these crazy sounds and making all this crazy music, when we know now that right. John was stuck in his house with his wife and his son, quite depressed, we right. hear, maybe in the mid-60s, 67 kind of time. And we know who was out there really experiencing all those great things right. and making all this great discoveries, and that was Paul. Mm-hmm. So part of me, you know, I understand where that comes from. But here's why, the main reason why I really love Many Years From Now is we had two kind of interviews that John gave, which was the Rolling Stone interview in 1970 and then the Playboy right. interview in 1980. What those interviews did, unbeknownst to John at the time, both occasions, they kind of framed the Beatles story and they framed the Lennon-McCartney relationship, where particularly in the Rolling Stone interview, as we know, John's dismissive of the Beatles, of Paul, of everything. Mm. Yeah, absolutely. But it's a book, it's an interview that was very renowned at the time. It was published by Rolling Stone, which is a very pro
Lennon.
It is a pro Lennon. Yeah. A pro Lennon publication. And then when the Playboy interview comes out, which is a more rounded interview and goes into a lot more detail, but he's still selling a story at that point. He's still selling the John and Yoko story. He's still trying to slightly maybe erase Paul from not his past, but certainly from, even though he does say some more positive things about Paul. But then of course the worst happens and he's obviously killed. So then all we have from 1980 to 1997, when this book comes out, really is John's side of the story.
Right.
Paul gives interviews. Paul does his own Playboy interview, as we know, in 84, and he starts to wrench back a lot of the credibility that he lost maybe in the, you know, through the 80s, Broad Street, Press to Play, mm-hmm. which were not popular at the time. So why I love this book is it starts to really place Paul back where he belongs as the centre of the Beatles, because he goes through in forensic detail with Barry Miles how the songs were written, his relationship with John, his relationship with the other Beatles, what it was like being a Beatle. It's all we have of Paul talking officially and properly, maybe outside of the anthology, about what it was like to write those songs, to create that body of work, and to be a Beatle. And for that, I think we should be grateful. I think we should be grateful that we have this book.
So from that, do you think that kind of spawned from anthology, kind of like Flaming Pie kind of spawned from anthology?
I would think so.
Yeah, I think it was started before anthology. Yeah. I think it was certainly written over a number of years. Yeah. And I think Miles was a great person to use. Miles obviously knew him through the 60s.
Yeah, involved, and he was with him every step of the way with all that underground stuff and IT Times and all that.
Right. The Zappel Diaries book is another, I think, a really, really great book that, you know, paints Paul as somebody that, you know, you talk about, you know, he's there in London experimenting, you know, going to those avant-garde, you know, shows and reading those avant-garde books and, you know, dealing with the poets of that time. So, yeah, I mean, we're finally getting, you know, the truth out there that it's, you know, it was really Paul that was the avant-garde one, if you will. You know?
And that's all, that's all well and good. And I'm appreciative that we have that. I just wish that if he was going to go on the record and do an official book, it would have been encompassed more of the, hey, in 66, 67, I was the one making it happen. I wish it was a little more encompassing of his whole career up until that point, not just such a microcosm of that. You know, that's because that's like, oh, I'm talking about my whole career. Well, I'm just talking about this
Beatles,
this thing, this little thing.
That's... You did have Wingspan to come, which obviously he would have known, I assume, that Wingspan was coming. Obviously, Wingspan is not a book like this. It's not an authoritative book.
Right.
It's a film. And there is a book that Mark Lewisohn was involved with, which is mainly a picture book.
Right.
But I think that might have been in his thinking, that I've got this project coming up about Wings in three or four years after this was published.
Right.
Maybe I want to leave off Wings a little bit. But I see what you're saying. He could have written a volume two.
Or even talk about the Beatles aspect of his career, you know, because this even many years from now just really focuses on a couple of years within the Beatles' career, really, you know. But yeah. It's an essential book. I would agree with you for sure.
Mm-hmm. Cool. All right, what else you got there that you find?
I'm sure you guys have got this one. This is a great book. Actually, this kind of ties in with what we're saying about Wings.
Right.
Yes. Tom Doyle. Oh, yeah. Yes. Tom Doyle, yeah, Man on the Run. Tom
Doyle. See, your cover's a little different than the one we got.
The UK cover's better.
Yeah, I like that one.
I was talking to our friend Ethan on the Fans on the Run podcast off the record, and we were talking about UK covers and US covers, and sometimes the US covers are great, and sometimes the UK covers are great. I have to confess, sometimes I paid on shipping, etc., and I've got a much superior cover.
Hey, listen, I love but those that's George me. Martin. I love those George Martin covers over there for the Womack 2-part
Ken's book. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think those covers are a lot better than the ones that we ended up with. So,
but then another good example is there's a book by Stephen Stark, which I can't remember. It might be called Meet the Beatles, but it's the US cover is a great shot of them coming off the plane at New York. And the UK cover is just a terrible, like, they're not looking at the camera and et cetera, et cetera. So anyway.
So Man on the Run, I mean, it's basically, you're just looking at from the 70s period from Paul on that one.
So it's an essential, it starts in 1970, it finishes with, I think it does cover a little bit of McCartney too, and the drug bust, et cetera. But it's written really engagingly. It wasn't a book that it's not a period that there's a lot written about as we're saying, particularly post kind of 1990 when it takes a slightly critical look. It's not a wholesale everything is great about Paul and what Paul did, how Paul treated some of the ex-Wings members, some of the stuff with this, particularly with Henry and Denny Sywell. And the first incarnation of Wings, so it covers that. There's some good stuff about Jeff Britton in there. You know, you could write a book about Jeff Britton in Wings. I think
yes, you could. We found out when we spoke to Dan Ealy.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, there's a lot there. It covers a lot of that, but at the same time, it celebrates his successes really well. It goes through. It's really positive on Back to the Egg. Back to the Egg is one of my favourite Paul. It's a secret Paul love of mine. So I'm always immediately warm to someone that likes Back to the Egg. And it's a period that needed to be covered. I would have loved him to have written about the 80s because you could have written a really good Paul McCartney 80s book as well. That's, you know, even though that's a bit of a darker time in a lot of ways for Paul than the 70s was, you could definitely get a great book
but
out
in a way,
there, and I love this.
Yeah, but in a way, I think, that would have been cool for people to do something like that. Just focus, have one book that just focuses on one decade.
I think those are cool, too, because they can go so in-depth.
Exactly, exactly.
On a certain decade, or even an album or a tour.
And he's been productive productive enough each decade to where you can, fill a decent size.
The 90s are a little dicey because he was so involved with the anthology. I think the 90s, out of all his decades, might have been the least prolific just because he was involved with the anthology and Linda was sick and stuff.
So there's just the two albums. There's only Off the Ground and there's Flaming Pie.
Well, and then you have the second Fireman album. You have Run, Double, Run as well. And then you got the two classical pieces as well.
He wasn't not sitting around, but in terms of his pop, churning out albums like he did in the 70s and 80s, the 90s just doesn't compare.
Okay, fair enough. But he's busy. He's got the 89-90 tour still going on in the 90s, and he's got the 93 tour.
You could certainly write a book about it. I'm not saying you can't. His pop work was not as up to speed, in my opinion. The 1990s. That's all.
Right.
Okay. He wasn't sitting around being a bum for sure.
No, I don't think he was. Anyways, but okay, let's continue. What else you got there, Joe?
Now I've got this one.
Okay.
This is how it sounds. How it sounds.
Let's see again. Another cover that I prefer.
I bought mine at Waterstones in Liverpool. Right. That's why.
Okay.
Tom, your cover is much better than ours. I think that's a better cover.
What do you think, Andy?
I think it's a better cover. Yeah.
I think you might be right on that one. I think that's a better cover than the American one.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, but this. Oh yeah. Go ahead. I'm curious on your take on this.
Well, I like this from a slightly voyeuristic way, where it's the only book that's come out that's covered. If we're talking about decades, it goes into quite a lot of detail about. Right. Paul in the early noughties, the mid noughties. Specifically, right. It goes into some detail about him and Heather, mm-hmm. which is obviously a subject which not some people don't want to talk about at all, which I understand. Yeah. But at the same time, I think it needs to be covered, and it covers that, I think, in quite a fair and balanced way. It's not a book that goes into a lot of detail about the music, but it finds some interesting people that he worked with. It talked to Hugh Padgham. Yeah. Not many people speak to Hugh Padgham about Paul. Obviously, the Press to Play sessions, as you both know, were fraught at times, right. Which I think is definitely really interesting. He speaks to Hugh. He speaks to some people that worked with him with Lipper. He speaks to him, to people that knew Paul in the 90s, you know, people that live near to him in Rye, etc., in the UK. And I think it comes at Paul from a slightly different, I don't want to say tabloidy because it's better than that, but it comes at Paul from a slightly different angle rather than just someone that would write a book where it covers all. Yeah, exactly that. Because I think he wrote some Dylan books. I don't know this, how it sounds. Right. Okay.
He did. I actually just finished his one on Dylan too. And was a good book. So he's a good writer, Howard Sounds. So for sure. But it's been quite a long time since I've read this one on Paul.
Yeah, he's definitely been one that I've been meaning to contact to have on the show. Because I know our friendly rival on Joe's side of the pond had him on. So he's definitely one that I look to
okay, good.
You know, to have on eventually, absolutely.
And I think this was published about 2010 or 11.
Yeah. Around then, yeah, definitely around then. I did know he was a UK writer. I don't know why, but I just assumed because he's a Dylan guy that he was in the US. But I only found out today that he's a Londoner, I think.
Yeah, 2010.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Cool.
All right, let's move on.
Okay, one kind of a slightly jokey, mildly jokey one, which is, right. I don't know if you guys know this one. It's this book here. It's called McCartney Songwriter by somebody called Howard Elson.
Okay.
Do you guys know this book? Do you know this author?
I know the book. I've been looking at it to purchase, but I haven't gotten it yet. So
it's an interesting. It's well. Here's a little example of something.
Put it back up for a second, if you don't mind. There you go. Okay.
Songwriter. Okay.
Good cover. Good cover right. picture. Good 80s
like,
cover
like
picture.
80s publication. Yes.
It's 86. 86. It cost me a whole 50 pence in the UK.
Wow.
I can't remember where. I think it might have been in a book sale. It's an ex-library book. Now, I just saw it, and just being me, I thought, I've got to have that for 50p. I will take that off of your hands. So it's great. It's great in the sense it finishes at Broad Street. It's published before Press to Play. I imagine it came out around the time that Press to Play was released to kind of cash in maybe on a little bit. But the thing that really makes me laugh is obviously, as you can see, it's a fair thickness.
Right.
It goes into fair detail. And then the person that they decide to finish the book with, they take a quote from someone. Now, you would imagine that this would be someone that had a large impact on Paul's life, somebody that Paul knew intimately, somebody that really understood Paul. So he decides to end the book with a quote from Francis Rossi of Status Quo.
Wow.
Interesting.
In which he ends the book by, Francis Rossi's quote is, Paul McCartney will go down in musical history.
That's right.
Which you can't argue with that as a statement. No. But I'm not sure why Francis had to be part of that. But hey.
Well, 50p, would you expect?
Yeah. The author must have been a Status Quo fan then, I guess, probably.
Who wrote that book, Joe?
Somebody called Howard Elson.
Okay.
Is that a name you guys know?
I don't know. Track him down.
Yeah.
I'll try.
I know you will.
So that's my that's my kind of Fab Four that I brought along to chat about today.
Great. Yeah, I mean, there's also there. I mean, there. Okay, so I'll bring up one here that I have that we found out was it earlier this year, I think. So just every once in a while, I'll just scroll Amazon. I'll type in McCartney, and then you know, in books will come up. I click that and just go. And then so this one I've discovered that I had no clue about. It's called McCartney Solo.
Oh, that one. Yeah.
See you next time. So and apparently the author is from over there, but is English. Mark Bowen. He did put a email address in here. I did email him, no response. And it said that the email was taken down or something like that.
Kicked it back.
Yeah. So, I mean, obviously this is somebody that another opinionated piece, kind of like Ted Montgomery's book is.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely would like to, so I don't know if you've heard about this one or not, but I definitely would like to,
I think you messaged me about that, or I think I saw that on one of your on one of your socials, Tom.
We discussed it, I think. Yeah.
And it's not a book I have, so I can't comment on the content. I'll be it's on Amazon UK. It's quite easy. It's not difficult to get hold of. Is it good? Is it enjoyable?
It's, you know, I'll go back and I'll just read some of his, you know, his thoughts on each song, because it goes song by song as well.
Like Ted's.
Yeah, like Ted's, and he'll just put in the basic, you know, information and just his thoughts on it. And, you know, for the most part, I tend to agree with what he has to say. I mean, he is a fan, obviously. I mean, unless he wouldn't have, you know, done something like this. But I thought it's pretty good. It's not bad.
Was that published again, Tom?
I think this was 2010.
Another 2010 book.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah,
2009 actually. So
yeah, but we didn't. We tried to contact him, but to no avail. So
yeah, I mean, the cover is a little, you know, not really much to be desired, but you know, it's something though. I mean, and you know, with these opinionated pieces coming out more and more, I tend to read them.
Is it just solo? Or is it Beatles?
Yeah, it's just solo.
It's just solo, which is why, in our opinion, it's like for us, it's like anybody who's going to write a dedicated book just on the solo person, where are you? We'll talk to you. No, because it's been such a slow process that's now gaining some traction, which is nice. You know, this has been a fun one of mine to look at.
Yeah,
a long time ago.
This is
early 2000s. This one, Gary McGee, pretty basic, but a good book.
I was going to say, how does that, because I looked at that at the time, and how does that compare to the Tom Doyle book? Is it similar or?
Similar. Tom's is much more thorough, though.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But this is a good one. It's a good, it covers mostly the early stuff. I mean, it goes up until the end a little bit, but this is pretty much heavy on the early incarnations of Wings and obviously the big lineup with all the success they had. But I think this was 2003, this one. This was an early one, too.
Yeah. So before Andy came on the show with my old co-host, we were lucky enough to have Paul DeNoyer on the show to talk about this one, Conversations with McCartney, which, you know, I believe he started interviewing Paul, you know, earlier this decade. And then he just goes back and just talks about different, you know, areas of Paul's solo career. I mean, he does talk about it does read as a biography because a lot of his interviews are it's not chronological. It just, you know, like I said, it reads like a biography. So it's kind of in order. So it's a pretty good read. I did enjoy, you know, his interviews with McCartney. So I thought this was a well worthy book to get.
When I posted that on my feed, the guy that took that picture on the front cover got in touch and just said,
"Oh, nice.
I love that." And then he told me a little story about how the photo shoot was over, was a Friday and then a Monday. So we did some pictures on the Friday, and then they were going to meet again on the Monday to do some more pictures. I think they ran out of time. And he was saying he was nervous the whole weekend thinking about taking Paul McCartney's photograph.
I do like the pick that they picked. So I do think.
What year was that published, Tom?
This was, again, you know.
About 2013, 14?
Yeah. Again, this previous decade. So you're looking at 2015.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Good. Another essential I've got this book open almost every other day, and it's the Luca Parazzi book.
Oh God! Yeah. Good.
You know, again, he throws in I kind of, if you're going to be a book on facts, then be that. And then, but every once in a while, he'll throw in his own personal opinion on the track, you know, which sometimes it kind of irritates me, you know, a little bit. But nonetheless, it's good for dates. It's good for who's on the track. I mean, there are some question marks here and there. But anyways, this is, I think, an essential, you know, we're lucky to have Luca.
Great book.
I'm
not a fan of the cover. Luca, I love it. Yeah. I love the book, but the cover just... Yeah. Some of these covers and some of these books make my head scratching, especially the newer ones.
One thing from doing this project is the covers really. So for instance, if I put a book up on the feed that's got a really kind of striking cover, it seems to get more traction, even if it's not a particularly well-known book.
Right.
People will see the cover and go, that's a great cover. Right. You know, I'll look into that one.
Yeah. Another series. It's a group of four. I had... reached out to the author to see if he was going to do a volume 5. He said he started working on it, but he just thought it was just ended up being a little boring at the time. And that's John Blaney, who's
I have those two.
Yeah, the songs we were singing. But this is the group of four. I mean, it's a four-parter. So you got the 70s all the way up to the noughties.
You have that, but that's that edition. I have one book that has all of them in
the middle. Yeah, you got the one where he's got the image with Lennon, you know, side by side, right?
No, I have it there. So there's two. There's a Lennon and McCartney book together.
Right.
And there's a Lennon book by himself and a McCartney book by himself.
Okay.
McCartney book I have is just all of the McCartney stuff condensed into the one.
Okay.
So, but yours is has like the images and stuff.
Right, exactly. And that's why I like this book is because, it'll give you the images of
I didn't get any of that.
Yeah, so why I really appreciate this book, you know, so you're getting the images.
Blaney's a great writer and a good author. Yeah,
we were able to talk to him as well, so he is a good interview.
His John book, I think it's called Listen to This Book.
Listen to This Book.
Is excellent. Right. I think it's out of print. It's hard to get hold of now. It's not easy to get hold of.
Gotcha.
But it's definitely worth a read.
Yeah,
for sure.
A book that I was halfway through because we were supposed to interview the author and he kind of backed out at the last minute. That's the A Life by Peter Ames Carlin.
Yeah,
was kind of enjoying this one.
I'm not broken up about that one because I'm not a fan of this one.
Okay.
It's a little bit light, that one, for me. Right. I've seen him on a couple of documentaries talking about Paul, and he comes across better in the documentaries than the content of that book, I thought. Mm. The content of that book is, and also, as I remember, the thing I drew from that book is he's really mean about Magneto and Titanium Man.
Oh, no.
Which is one of my favorite silly Paul
songs.
Same here,
buddy.
Yeah. His book on Brian Wilson is excellent, but I thought... Yeah, his book on Brian Wilson, I thought it was very good. I just thought his book on Paul was just a little on the light side.
Yeah. See, he comes across very articulate when I see interviews of him on YouTube and whatnot.
Yeah.
You know, so I thought he would be, you know, hopefully maybe in the future we'll revisit that.
In terms of the newest, this is got to be the newest one, though, right? The Philip Norman, this has got to be the newest one.
Of bios, right?
Of bios.
Yeah. I believe
I've got a different cover for that as well. So I was quite lucky he did a book launch when that came out in Waterstones in Piccadilly in London.
Is that 15? Well,
maybe 15, might be 14.
16.
Wow. Yeah. I'm losing track of my years. So I went to this book launch, quite sparsely attended, only about 10 or 15 of us there, couple of real people that I recognised from the kind of London Beatles scene, and he spoke about the book, and he spoke a little bit about, obviously he's famous for not being a big Paul fan,
but he
spoke a little bit about that, and my main memory of that evening was he started to talk about John right at the end of the kind of Q&A at the end of the book chat, and then for some reason there was a power cut in the bookshop and all the lights went out.
I was
a bit spooked, but it's quite an interesting book. I think it claws back a little bit of the bad feeling that he had.
Right.
Yeah, he's trying to right some wrongs there, good old Norma.
Norma Phillips.
Yeah.
So I got halfway through the Selovich book, you know, obviously we got to talk to him. excuse me, that would, this has been enjoyable. I will finish this. The one I haven't gotten into yet is the Chet Filippo book.
Well, you know, the Unauthorized, so, yeah, about 91, yeah. I think that one came out in early 90s.
I don't have that one. That I should have it, really. It, yeah. It looks quite light. Is it? It looks like quite a light.
It is a light. Well, that's a classic American in every American library.
Yeah, 88.
88.
So.
88. Oh.
Okay. Yeah. This was the interesting one I had sent you. You hadn't seen this one before, Joe, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Well, I'd seen since we discussed it. I have done a small slice of research, and it was. I think it was quite one. Is it 76, 74? When was it?
Is it that early?
I think maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. It looks.
Take a look.
I could be wrong.
75.
There you go. There you go. Wow.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, these little Vanity Fair 70s paperbacks, I love them because you can't tell. They're so cheap made, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
The other one that you showed, too, you got the two that you showed, right?
Oh, this one.
Yeah, so I ordered both of those, and I should have had them already. I was hoping to show them for the show. No, I'm not. It's not.
Yeah, this one is. This one was published in 78. It has so much coverage on London Town. That's why I brought it up, because there's so much press and attention given to London Town, because that's when it came out. Martin Grove.
Just another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, another one that went under the radar for me is this one by John Cherry.
What's that like?
Another opinionated, you know, piece. It's just, you know, goes throughout his solo career again. And, you know, I haven't dug through it a lot. I mean, it's another lightweight book. I mean, it's not that it's going to be a quick read. You know, I just read the first few pages and, you know, again, it's just, you know, it's just fun to have, you know, really.
Another quite shabby cover.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, when do you write your Macca book?
Yeah.
one day.
Yeah. Good. So it's called Paul McCartney's Solo Music Career, 1970-2010, Life, Love, and the Sense of Childlike Wonder. An in-depth examination of the best and worst songs from the world's most successful singer-songwriter. So there you go. But yeah, this one definitely went under the radar for me. Again, another one I think I found on Amazon while
expensive or not really.
No, I think this was like 15.
Okay.
Yeah, not too crazy. Again, a couple, you know, another ones. Truant Boy, which I haven't gotten to yet. Looking forward to getting to this one. I think this one came out 4 or 5 years ago as well. I don't know if you've seen this one yet, Joe, or not.
I haven't, no, what's that? Yeah. That looks cool.
It's art, authenticity, and Paul McCartney. So, again, one that I haven't dug into yet, but
cool.
Try to get to. His name is Martin Show, is the author's name. So,
what else you have there, Joe?
Well, I was gonna say, picture book wise, obviously there's not as many picture books that Paul has got that is as compared to John, but this one.
Oh, of course. Oh, yes. Yeah, Hypnosis. And
Across the Water, which I think is a really lovely book. I mean, as we were saying earlier, of the time, it's just got some really great, some fantastic pictures from that tour, which you don't get anywhere else. It's got a lovely bit where you see the families of the guys in Wings, just some kind of family pictures with Denny. Obviously, we all know the Paul family pictures, but it's good to see a bit more depth on the guys that were obviously the most successful incarnation of Wings. And I think, I can't think of many other really great books that are just photo books that are about Paul.
Yeah, Linda's pictures, obviously.
Well, you've got the latest two, you know. I mean,
I'm talking about the very, very first one, not the.
Oh, the first one. Okay, like
very,
this
very,
one,
very,
know,
very, very first one from the.
That's
70s.
Great. Yeah.
But a lot of good photos in the. I'm sorry, a lot of great ones in the Polaroid Diaries too that just came out as well. So, one I keep forgetting that I have is this one. I got a
one. Great.
This is a good one.
Yeah, the one I keep forgetting that I have, because it's kind of like buried into two bigger books, is, and I guess there's a couple parts to this, too, is, you know, Paul McCartney in the News. This one's 69-73.
Who wrote that? That's an edited articles. Thing, right? That's an edited thing? Who would put that together?
All it is is news articles. And the name is C. Barrett is the name.
Okay.
I should have that. I love contemporary articles and stuff. So if it's all that, I should really have that.
Yeah. But I think, like I said, I think there was two or three volumes to this. This first volume is 69 to 73. So interesting as well. One book I wish I had when before we did our Broad Street episode was this boy right here, you know. So
oh, that's a great one too. Got
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Period piece stuff.
Yeah. And then we got the Chris Welch book as well. Again called the Definitive Biography.
I'm gonna grab a book, one sec.
Yeah, yeah. So a lot of stuff out there. Really,
so much stuff out there, and actually, you don't realize how many kind of '90s, '80s, '90s right. biographies. It seems to be mm-hmm. like the, like we said, the Chet Flippo, you know, the right. The Selvidge one, that one, the Chris Welch right. you've just shown. There was quite a selection of Beatle of Paul biographies rather in mm-hmm. in the '80s into the '90s, which may be another reason why Many Years From Now comes out. I imagine he wasn't happy with
right. you know,
a lot of those books that we've discussed. Maybe apart from Chris's, were quite light. You know, a lot of those books
right.
are quite light. So Many Years From Now is another way of him saying, okay, it's not a whole biography, as we said, but it's got a lot of depth and a right. lot of information.
Plus, I respect the fact that the Chris Selovich one was more a pro-Paul a biography. Which
and he didn't hide behind that fact either.
No, exactly. He talked about that. So, and there's not a lot of those out there. So, but what do you got, Andy?
So one of the things, we've all talked about all these books, and there's so many to keep track of, and Joe's like, there's 400, and it's endless, right? So when my time spent in Liverpool, my tutor, Dr. Mike Brocken, was working on a book at the same time, which came out in 2012. And it's a book that talks about all the Beatle books that are out there and how to get them and reviews them all in a book called
The Beatles Bibliography.
And this right. was written by my tutor in Liverpool, Dr. Mike Brocken, and a student in the cohort of not the class I was in, the one before me, Melissa Davis. And it's about, 600 pages. And it just talks about all the books, where they were published, a short review on them. Some are longer. But if you know, it's worth picking up to just have a book that talks about the books to figure out,
right.
you know, are they good? Are they not? You know, there's been a couple revisions since this was published. So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I got to get that. This is definitely
worth picking up because you can go through it and it'll tell you, okay. And it's all alphabetical by last author. So you are by the last name of the author. So it'll tell you, okay, this is a famous book. This is not so good, not worth reading. But because there's been an explosion of books, say, over the past 20 or 30 years, he came up with the idea to write this and put it together. And
it's great companion, especially if you're a fan of the books, you know.
For sure.
I would recommend, similar to that, I don't know if you guys know a book by a woman called Erin Torkelson Weber. Mm. So she's a professor. I should know the university, and I apologize where she's. But she's not really a Beatle nut as such. But she wrote a book about 4, maybe 5 years ago, and it a little bit like we were just saying. It kind of covers how the perception of the Beatles changes, and Paul and John in particular, from 1970 to 2015 through the books that are published. So she looks at things from a historical viewpoint. So things like how reliable are certain sources? Is Bill Harry a reliable source that goes on everything?
Right.
Whereas is a guy that Lewison finds a reliable source that was tucked away somewhere that had never spoken to anyone before. And about how post John's death, books like Ray Coleman's book, Ray Connolly's book, the Goldman book, how they frame the perception of John, obviously, and the Beatles, and books that have come out. So, for instance, books like the Patty Boyd book,
right.
you know, how that framed George. Jeff Emmerich's book is a great example where you've got, talking about books earlier, the way you've got someone's perspective.
Right.
There's a beautiful example of a guy that's got clearly an issue with George, or had an issue with George, which, you know, we're not sure why, really, but that's fed into that book quite wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
I don't think he was a fan of Emmerich being a part of the anthology either. I think I kindly remember him saying like some smart-ass comment about, you know, Emmerich being a part of that as well. So yeah,
and he was such a Paul yeah. Camp guy, you know.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. But I think that's
like Jeff Lynne was in the George camp.
Well, you know, he had to even it out. I mean, if you're going to have Lynne produced, then you got to have Emmerich as your engineer.
That's probably the deal, you know.
and you've got an even Mark Lewison. I don't think, obviously, George and Mark Lewison. I think there's Mark spoken, I'm sure you guys have heard on a few other podcasts about him and George having a good and then not so good relationship.
Right. Yeah, actually, during the fest for Beatle fans that happened last month, I was listening to Lewison's show and I got to talk to him about his time working with Club Sandwich. And he had briefly mentioned that where, you know, since he was going to go over to the Paul camp, he kind of lost this little, you know, friendship that he had just, you know, starting to blossom with George
thought he played some bootleg out and released it to somebody, which is totally not true.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
I mean, the stuff that all the behind the scenes stuff that you learn as this stuff, you know, whether or not they're true or not, I mean, is another story, but they're kind of fun. And then, you know, you get the musical side of Paul, which there's not a lot of books of, but then you get the stuff from Adrian Allen that he's been putting out that's more, of a chord, you know, the structure and song structure and chords and stuff like that. So, you know, those are out there
Are worthy additions to this because it's music. It's actually tackling the music from a musician's point of view, discussing it really in print for the first time. I mean, Adrian's done the whole, the whole thing of Paul's music. And that's,
yeah, I mean, he's definitely gone throughout his whole career. I mean, 70 up all the way up until the, you know,
it's just a different kind of a book that enters canon now. It's not just a biography or a photo book. It's somebody actually talking about the song structures. Right. Benitez's book, From the Words of Music of Paul McCartney from 2010, same thing. Right. So, you know, there's authors actually going into his music and, you know, talking about the notation, like a McDonald, like an Ian McDonald book, really.
Mm. So what's out there that that you've read that you haven't really cared for, McCartney?
Well, I think we discussed the Peter Ames Carlin one. I think for that it was more of a letdown. I thought, like we said, I had high hopes for it, and I think it was a little bit of a letdown. So that was one that I was looking forward to reading when I got it, and it didn't grab me. It didn't kind of go anywhere. I can't think of many others that I've been really disappointed about. Obviously, there are Beatle books that paint Paul in a bad light, which we know of some good examples of that. But I can't think of many really where someone's written a book about Paul where I've been really kind of disappointed.
Gotcha.
With.
You know what? Because the volume, because there just isn't an amount of quantity. Okay, Beatle books are like this. Right. Lennon books are like this. And there's only, McCartney books are about a third of that. So there isn't, there hasn't been so many published that you can say, I'll toss that one out. It's, you know, there just hasn't. There's been so much written about Lennon. There's been so much written about the Beatles and McCartney. But it's nice to see that it's changing. But to your point, you know, I would agree with you. There's not nearly one that says, it's just crap, toss it, because there just isn't it. There's some that you like better than others, but there's not one where you could say, you know.
Yeah.
Just because there's not as many.
Right. Then you got the books out there, too, that deal with kind of like Eight Arms to Hold You, where, you know, it talks about all the solo, you know, the as a group. So, you know, you have to get that to see what they, you know, what they have to say about Paul's, which I would imagine, since Chip was kind of a beginning author on that McCartney Legacy series, I'm sure that some of the style of his writing may end up in the finished McCartney Legacy book, so I'm kind of curious to see how that turns out.
We have a McCartney Legacy publication date, or just no, we don't know yet.
I think October 21.
So that's a year from now.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't think they have an official release date, but it will be in.
Because they're dead, but their deadline's approaching.
Their deadline is in October, his deadline is in October. So, you know, like the Doggett book, you know, You Never Give Me Your Money has a lot of great solo Paul information in there, you know, dealing with a lot of the court cases, the Beatles and Drugs, you know, deals with a lot of, you know, Paul's, you know, issues, stuff like that, you know, and it's fascinating, you know, you get, Womack's George Martin bio that deals with some solo stuff too. So, you know, obviously there's Beatles books out there that'll deal with some of the solo years as well. So you just gotta, you know, find that stuff. But yeah, I mean, a lot of good stuff out there that, you know, some unfortunately you just gotta find because it's been what, 20, 30 years since they've, you know,
I mean, been published. Those two books that you showed, the Mark Bowen book and the other book, I can't remember the author's name that you showed, you know, they were books that I was unaware of unless I really dug deep to, like you said, right. Had a deep dig in Amazon's crates. Mm-hmm. So I think there's ample opportunity out there for more to come out. Let's hope. But yeah, I think some of those ones that you just mentioned probably should be better known than they are. Whereas maybe some of the kind of averagey John books and certainly some of the averagey Beatle books are better known and have sold more than some really good Paul books.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, we've dealt with that a few times with some authors who, you know, they want to write like a McCartney book, but it's an easier sell to write a Beatles book than it is just a regular.
Yeah, but hopefully that sounds like that landscape is changing now, which is good.
I would hope so.
Definitely.
I would hope so. Yeah.
We haven't mentioned the Ian Peel book, The Unknown Paul McCartney, which is a great book.
You.
Obviously, you guys had him on.
Of course.
That, like I said, I think the way forward is finding a niche almost in a Beatle or the Beatles career and going there and looking
and
deep.
Running with it.
Right. Yeah. Again, 2002, so when you have somebody on that, you know, the book is, you know, almost 20 years old now, it's just like, you know, where do you go with the interview? You know, how much is that person going to remember? You know, but yeah, I mean, he had some fun things to talk about that interview. So I was appreciative of him coming on and talking about it. But yeah, one other book too that we were able to have the author on. His name was Dennis Allstrand, and this is the Beatles' Revolutionary Bass Player, which. Again, you know, a kind of opinionated piece. I mean, this is his opinion on Paul as a bass player with the Beatles and from his solo career as well. So interesting. I do want to mention, you know, unfortunately, it's a little bit of a sad note. We had an author on. His name was Tony Connolly back in December of 2017, and he was working on a book called Paul McCartney in the Beatles. And unfortunately, he has been fighting a battle with cancer over the last 2 years. So I think that project might be in limbo now. But if you're interested, anybody listening, you can go back and listen to that interview. That was a lot of fun as well. So, but yeah, I mean, I'm really happy that this past, you know, decade, there's just been more and more stuff coming out. So, you know, hopefully that trend continues.
Me too. I'm happy as well.
Yeah. I think the appearance alongside of the archive collection of McCartney albums lends itself to that because those archives that come out with the books are, you know, the books themselves and those are, you know, that lend itself to this narrative of the last 10 years, which is nice because they've been so thorough, high in, you know, photograph content, but, you know, reappraising the albums and, you know, the books are, and all those sets have gone a long way, I think, to, you know, this pro McCartney appearance of books, especially over the last decade.
Altogether, I mean, are you pretty much happy with the output of McCartney books that are out there?
I think, yeah, definitely. I think there's, like, as we say, there's a large amount of room that where there's niches that can pop up about Paul's stuff. You could write a great book about the 76 tour, the drug bust, maybe what it was like to be in Wings. Couldn't you? I know Lawrence Juber's done books, but they've been mainly photo books, etc. I think there's loads of areas that you could go into with Paul or people that have interacted with Paul.
Absolutely.
So I think it's exciting. I think it's exciting still. And the one person that we haven't heard much from is Mike McCartney. His books have been mainly photo books. They've mainly covered pre-Beatle years. So I think, and he's someone that was there through Paul's whole life.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for a lot of the big Beatle moments. He was in Wales, obviously, for the Maharishi bit when they found out about Brian.
Yeah.
And he's got a unique insight. So I think Mike is someone that maybe one day, I can see Andy's got a great book of his there, which I have as well. Mm. But I think I'm talking about from like a like a biographical way, maybe that would be something that would be cool to hear.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he does talk a little bit, I mean, during that big McGear campaign that he had last year, from the reissue of that, you know there's a few by the deluxe CD set. There's a DVD that comes with a couple interviews that, you know, gets into detail about, you know, working with his brother, you know, a little bit. But yeah, I think that would be a great idea as well. Get some you know, stuff from him. Actually, there's a really cool bit where he's on a talk show, and there's a person on there starting the the Beatles is with that, the, you know, McCartney is dead whole rumor.
Oh God, that was so good.
And he's in the audience, and he's just, you know, shaking his head and just telling the guy he's rubbish. Pretty much.
No, do you know what that is? That's the beginning of the YouTube documentary by Reckless 345,
yeah,
which is
right,
the beginning of the whole documentary. Which is, I had never seen that clip before. Have you seen that, Joe?
Yeah, I saw it in that documentary, and I it looks vaguely familiar. But yeah, it's an interesting one. Mike's certainly someone that I think we should hear more of.
Yeah, but he's, you know, he's very careful not to overstep, and, you know, his
A lot of people that are pretty careful. Like, it would be pretty cool to hear from Jane Asher a little bit too.
No, she'll never. You'll never hear from Jane Asher.
What about Mark? Do you think Mark Lewis will get to her?
No. No, it's been 50 years.
If
she hasn't said anything, there's nothing anything Mark can do to get her to talk.
If she's going to go to someone, it's going to be Mark. But
I would hope so. I mean, her appearance pretty much will show up in volume two, then of his Tune In.
Definitely,
series,
yeah.
You know, when it comes out in 2030.
Yeah. Yes, when it's ready. Hopefully, I'll be retired so I can just, you know, sit back and read it.
Give you a whole day to Mark Lewison. Yeah.
Exactly.
Many days, probably.
Yeah. But anyways, this has been great. Thank you, Joe, for joining us for this episode. Let's plug that Instagram again. Let's remind us where you can find that.
Instagram, it's just at Books Beatles. It's just a page where I primarily archive all the books I have. I do reviews of forthcoming and existing books. We chat about existing Beatle books and old Beatle books and new Beatle books. And yeah, a guaranteed fun time is guaranteed for all.
Beautiful. Fantastic. And then you're gonna expand to Twitter and Facebook eventually.
Twitter, Facebook coming up. Okay. And like I said, hopefully we'll get the pod going.
And the podcast going too.
It's going to be an empire. I'm going to be bigger than MPL, maybe.
Good luck with that, my friend. Good luck with that. Well, it was great having you on. So we really appreciate it, and we'll get this episode out in a couple weeks, and hopefully more people discover your site.
Your page, your account, and your podcast soon to be, which, you know, Two Legs guys will be subscribed right away.
Man, you guys have been really helpful. I've had a blast today, and it's great to speak to you. I know a lot of the people that follow me, we talk about podcasts, and you guys always come up as a gold standard. So it's really
thank
nice.
You.
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So anyways, so as Andy has said earlier during the show, we're now on Spotify. We're now on Pandora, right? We're also on Amazon, as well as our usual Podbean, iHeartRadio, iTunes, wherever there's podcasts, you can check us out there. And you can also watch the video version, which hopefully you'll check that out as well on our YouTube channel, Two Legs, a Paul McCartney podcast, where you're going to see all of our beautiful faces and all the wonderful books that we talked about today. So check us out there as well. You can email us at twolegspodcast@gmail.com. So thank you everybody for your comments. It's really much appreciated, and we'll see you again next week for our Off the Ground show. It's going to be another fun, controversial episode.
It won't be fun for you. It'll be fun for me.
Oh no, it'll be really fun. it'll be fun to see all the comments of people that agree with me.
Get out of my way.
Anyways, everybody, take care. Great seeing you all. And as always, everybody out there, have a great day and a beautiful night. See you.
hosted by Tom Hunyadi and Andy Nichols, with musical contributions by Dylan.